Well, welcome again. Good to have you in the Lord's house. And thank you, Luann, and the music team. And thank you, Terry. Love those flashing glasses. Oh, maybe I need some of those, too. Those are pretty fun. And so we are continuing our series in the book of Ephesians on victorious living. And we started last week with the story of the founding of the church at Ephesus, which you visited last year briefly in the book of Acts, in our journey through Acts. But now we're taking a deep dive in there. And it's an exciting story, an exciting book. And Paul is writing from prison later on after he's visited the church in his second missionary trip and his third missionary trip. And this is a book that he writes to them, the church who is undergoing incredible persecution. And Paul, of course, is in prison. And he writes this, and this is the beginning of the book of Ephesians, and I want you to notice the big picture, about seeing the big picture. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will, in order that we, who are put to our hope of Christ, might be for the praise and his glory. Also, you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, we continue, as I said, our series on victorious living in the book of Ephesians, looking at seeing the big picture this morning. Well, Savannah and I did one of our regular vacations to Florida in June and enjoyed seeing family and going to the beach and went to Disney World one day. And one of the things I always tell Savannah to help me to do in Florida is to watch the speed limit, okay? And Florida's one of those places, it's not like Indiana, but in Florida, they have these, they're actually four lane kind of highways, right? Sometimes they're six lane, and they go from like 45 miles an hour to 35 to 65 to 55 to 45, and it keeps going back and forth, and it's a real challenge to keep to the speed limit. We're trying to actually follow the speed limit and everything, and one of the things I always tell Savannah, as I said, you gotta watch the cameras on the light, because they have these automatic cameras that take your picture if you're going over the speed limit, and then you get a ticket in the mail, and it reminded me of this story of this guy who knew about this camera, and he saw the camera coming up, and so he slowed down to the speed limit, looked up the camera, and he saw the light flash on the camera, and he thought to himself, man, you know, I know I was going the speed limit, so he went around the block, and he went even slower, and the camera flashed again, and he was so upset. He said, I know I'm going the right speed limit, and so he went through it three more times. A week later, he received 5 tickets in the mail for not wearing his seatbelt. You know, sometimes those cameras are effective. sometimes we focus on the wrong things. And I think Paul would say this morning that sometimes it's so easy to begin to focus on the things that discourage us in life. And what we need to do a lot of times is to take a step back and to see the big picture. Have you ever had someone tell you that in your own life? I know I have. And you know it, but you need to be reminded of it. And so to walk back into the story of the church at Ephesus we looked at last week, and we talked about being empowered last week. And the story, we talked about the founding of the church when Paul arrives in Ephesus. And there's a group of believers there, and he asked them about their faith in Christ, and they said, "Well, we've heard from John, the Baptist, and then Paul says, 'Have you received the Holy Spirit?'" And they said, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit, right? And then I talked about sometimes that's a picture of the church today, even though we have a wealth of all the scriptures that we don't really understand or want to, don't really thirst for the Holy Spirit. And I said, the Holy Spirit really, in my way of looking, has three purposes, which is to encourage and to enlighten and to empower. And in our own lives, the season of Pentecost, not just the day of Pentecost, but the season of Pentecost is about that. And the church really is about the season of Pentecost. And so that we can encourage and we can be enlightened and enlighten others and to be empowered to live and to give grace to other people, to love and serve God and to love and serve neighbor. And then the history of this church is an unusual one because the church really got its founding in a riot. Not this church has a glorious history, but that church was started small, but then what happened was a lot of the people who were trafficking in sort of the magic of the day and even enslaved this young girl to tell futures became Christians and believers in Christ, and they put that all aside. And people who made money from that, of course, were upset. And then there was this temple of Artemis, this incredible temple. As a matter of fact, you can see it up here. We have the remnants today. There's a huge Colosseum there. It's a mammoth Colosseum, the remnants of this huge temple of to Artemis, mentioned in a new Indiana Jones movie, by the way. and people were enthralled by that. People came from all over for that, and they saw this as undermining all that. And so Demetrius, the silversmith, one of the people making little idols, started this riot. And they brought Paul forward, and then they were going to just stone him to death and cause all kinds of chaos. And finally, after a number of hours, the clerk from the city came and said, listen, and he wasn't a believer. He came out and said, listen, I've heard enough of this. And we all know that this temple in Artemis fell from the sky. No one's going to change that. So all I have to say is if you have a charge to bring against this guy, a formal charge, then bring it. Otherwise, get out of here. And they disperse. They listen to the city clerk. And sometimes God moves in a miraculous way, and so it was in that moment. But Paul stayed longer, continued his teaching, visited again, and then Paul is now in prison. And I don't know what it's like to be in prison, but Paul's in prison. He's in a Roman prison, and he's under house arrest. He's got a guard there all the time, and the church in Ephesus is undergoing a lot of persecution. It was not folks largely from the Hebrew faith, but it was a crossroads, and it is in present-day Turkey today. Beautiful area, and an area of commerce then, an area of commerce now. And the people are undergoing all kinds of conflict, under kinds of persecution. And Paul writes this letter to them as a word of encouragement about victorious living. And I want you to know, I mean, sometimes people chart this whole, you know, some of Paul's paragraphs are kind of, you know, like William Faulkner. They just go on, and people will, like, diagram the paragraph. And that's nice. And you can look at all the words. But I think this morning what I would just encourage you to do is to do what Paul is kind of doing, is to kind of look at the big picture. And it's interesting because I don't know if you've read one of the popular management books out there, but it's been out there for a while, but it's very good, by William Bridges called Managing Transitions. Great book. And I used to use it as I taught organizational leadership at Purdue. But William Bridges says, you know, transitions are difficult in life. It doesn't matter whether it's a good transition or difficult, and we perceive it as a bad transition. What he said was, all of us can probably handle managing a transition if we have four things. He said those four things are a purpose, a picture, a plan, and a part to play. A purpose, a picture, a plan, and a part to play. In other words, if we know the purpose of what we're going through, then even if it's some hardship and adversity, we can handle that, right? If you're running a race and you're going through hardship, but you know that, well, okay, to run the race successfully and maybe even win it, then I'm going to endure all these kinds of things. And we need a picture. Some of us are more word-oriented. A lot of us are visual, and so we need this picture painted for us. And then he says we need a plan to go from A to B, and we all need a part to play, right? We all need to be part of the team and to understand that we're part of a team, to stay in our lane and to work together as a team, and we can do great things. And Paul, in the book of Ephesians, does all those things. He adds a fifth, I would say, which is power, which we talked about in the Holy Spirit. But in this opening verse here, Paul gives us the purpose, and he gives us the picture, the big picture. And I want you to see this because I just want to go over this and just kind of, you know, glance at it and just take a step back rather than sort of zooming in on the microscope. Well, then take a look at it from the big picture. And Paul's telling them who are undergoing persecution, and they have to remember Paul himself is in prison. So Paul understands what this is. Paul would like to be out there founding more churches, but God put him in prison. Why? Probably because if God never slowed Paul down in prison, we wouldn't have all these letters that he wrote to encourage us. So there was a purpose there. But he goes and he just gives this beautiful picture. He says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." So God has blessed us. And then it says, "And he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world." How about that for a big picture? And he goes on to say that we were predestined for adoption as sons and daughters of God. Some people get all excited about the word predestined, and all I would say is, you know, it's just knowing ahead of time where we're going to arrive, having the power to see us through. We still have free choice in all that we do in our decisions and everything, but God has predestined us, like knowing that a train is going to arrive at the other station. God has predestined, and Paul is underscoring that. And then he goes on, even more importantly, to say, in him we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin through Christ's sacrifice. And then it says, even more, God has lavished on us the riches of God's grace. You ever think that God has lavished? Isn't that great? You think, well, maybe God is just sort of parceling out little blessings. No, Paul says, God has lavished on you all these blessings. And when we give thanks to God, that's acknowledging God's lavish blessings. We may not get everything we want. And by the way, every parent knows that if some kid gets everything they want, what happens to him? Not a good thing, right? So maybe God knows that about us too. What things are good for us or what's the right timing? So God lavishes this blessing. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, not every mystery of the universe just yet, which he purposed in Christ. There's the purpose. The purpose in Christ, that we are saved, and the purpose of Christ. And then he goes on to underscore that, and he says, in Christ you've been chosen, you've been predestined, you're conformed to the purpose of God's will in your life, and you were included in Christ there at the cross, in the message of his truth, the gospel of salvation. And when you believed, you were marked with a seal, which is his promised Holy Spirit, which is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of God's possession. You know, sometimes don't you feel like it's all up to you in your faith life? You know, you're undergoing adversity and challenge. Maybe you lost a loved one, or you're just having a hard time at home or work or whatever, and you just think, I'm trying as hard as I can, and, you know, God, where are you? And I think Paul would just say, if you're in God's will, God is empowering you even through the difficulties of life. Read the scriptures. Not everything went well for all those folks, but in the end, things turned out according to God's good purposes. So where are you and what are you going through right now where you need to step back and see the big picture, the purpose of God, and read this paragraph, these two paragraphs, and just think to yourself, you don't have to, you know, turn on the microscope for every single word and do word study. You can if you want to, but look at the big picture of all the things that God has done and is doing in your life, and that if God can do all that, then God can get you from here to there. Wherever and whatever you're going through, God is going to see you through. And you can believe it. Look at the big picture and understand that the purpose of God is working in your life. And the power, of course, is there as well. Jesus, especially on the Sermon on the Mount, and Luann read that this morning. And she told me, she said, you know, I opened the Bible and there it was. She opened this verse this morning. She said, I couldn't believe it. But sometimes God does little things where God winks at us, right? In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Where Jesus finishes that section where he's talking about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and said, listen, don't be anxious about all these kinds of things, the clothes that you wear, the food that you eat. You know, work as hard as you can. Do your best and give God the rest, because if you seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, all these things will be given to you as well. And you'll know God's blessing in a powerful way. And so look at the big picture. Put first things first, and God will see you from here to there. I'm thinking this week about Joshua, in Joshua's moment where he takes the baton from Moses. And last week we talked about the great track and field star Allison Felix and in her life of faith. And I was thinking in a very real way that Joshua took the baton of faith from Moses. And of course, Moses, this incredible figure of faith, had led the people of Israel from bondage under Pharaoh and was headed towards the promised land. And for 40 years have led them in the wilderness through all kinds of challenge and adversity. And the time came for Moses to go to the Lord. God called him to the mountaintop. But before God did, God spoke to Moses and said to the person that he had mentored, which was Joshua in life, he'd mentored him these 40 years, that he was to give him the words that God had spoke to Moses and said, be strong and be courageous. You know, do not be dismayed. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so those words that were spoken to Moses were spoken again to Joshua. And then after Moses passes away, after giving this great speech that's recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, Joshua hears those very words from God. Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Why? Because he probably was leading the people, taking Moses' place. Can you imagine that? And then he speaks to Joshua and tells him to take the people across the Jordan River into the promised land to face battle, much like the way the people had crossed from Egypt into the wilderness to go through the Red Sea. And in this moment, it's sort of a big picture moment for Joshua, where God is saying, listen, I did this for Moses. I'm going to do it for you. I'm faithful. I'll be there. And you and I have moments in life where we can be encouraged by the people in Scripture, maybe the people in our own lives of faith, where we just say, you know what, this is too much for me alone, but it's not too much for me and God. Because if you partner with God, God will get you from here to there. And everything doesn't go the way we want, but God has a purpose, God has a plan. And it's bigger than redemption. The same God that could turn the tragedy of the cross into the triumph of the resurrection is at work in our lives as well. I love the moment when Abraham is discouraged, and I would be too. Abraham been promised. Abraham and Sarah have been promised a child for decades, and nothing happened. And then Abraham is pushing 100 years old, and Sarah is 90, and Abraham all but given up on that promise. And three strangers come and in the middle of the desert, and they exercise hospitality. And Abraham invited them to dinner, and he and Sarah prepared the meal, and they shared. And there's a moment where Sarah's kind of laughing at things. And when they say, well, this a year from now, you're going to have a baby. And Sarah's over here, and she just laughed because she's 90 years old. Who wouldn't laugh? She had her sense of humor. And then they said, no, when we come back next year, you'll have that. And then Abraham goes out after they leave in the night, looks up the stars, the sky, and hears the whisper of the Holy Spirit on his heart. Says, you see these stars and this great creation? I made all this. I put this here. And your descendants will be as many and more as the stars in the sky. Not because of you, because me, the Creator, that put all these there, is going to give you a child. And sometimes in our own life, you know, we have to get to the place where we can't do it, and we know we can't do it, and we know the only way it's going to get done is through God. It's the blessing and power of Almighty God and the power and blessing of the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, a year later, they have Isaac, which means laughter. Because God does have a sense of humor, and you can laugh with God. It's okay. Where in your life is it just too powerful? Well, maybe you need to walk out in the night sky like Abraham and Sarah and see the stars of the sky. And this week, we're looking at stellar stars in VBS. So maybe you'll have a stellar moment, whether it's with the VBS kids. Hopefully all those young people will. But you can too. You're not too old. Abraham was 100. Sarah was 90. God was still doing miracles in their life. And you think life has passed you by, then maybe you need to look at the night sky. Maybe you need to hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to see the big picture of the Creator that put all things in their place. I love the story of President Truman when he took office, of course. President Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, had passed away. and at a bad time. He was in the process of negotiating the map that would be after World War II, and that was coming to an end. But all the key players were jockeying for power positions, and Roosevelt was an excellent negotiator. Truman was not at the table before, and all of a sudden, he took the oath of office in the middle of the night on the steps of the White House. And he was just overwhelmed by that responsibility, knowing that the things that he would negotiate on behalf of the United States and the world would impact the world for decades to come. And he said he couldn't sleep at night, no matter what he did. He tried to meditate, he tried to reflect, but his mind would just go round and round. And then one day someone shared with him Psalm 121, which says, "The Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. God is always in watch." And so he began to read that before he went to bed, and he was able to unload his responsibilities onto the shoulder of God as he slept, knowing that God neither slumbers or sleeps. And so the anxiety left, and he was able to sleep. And I don't know what you're worried about today, but maybe you could hear those whisper from the Psalms, "The Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps." You can sleep because God is on watch, but God has the power to watch over, just as God was watching over the Apostle Paul in a prison in Rome with a guard by him. God was watching over the church in Ephesus as it went through all these turmoils, endured a riot, but it incentivized the church and it helped the church to grow. Undergoing persecution, them and most of the churches over Asia Minor, but God would do amazing things and is still at work today. Where do you need to hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit? Where do you need to see the night sky and the big picture that Paul is trying to whisper to and the Holy Spirit is trying to whisper to the church at Ephesus and down through the ages to each and every one of us today? God doesn't slumber or sleep. God knows the plan and the purpose. God has it. And God is unfolding that in our hearts and lives today and each and every day of our lives. I'd like to close with this thought. And I love the story of this little girl who was in a doctor's office with her father. And the little girl became fidgety, as many of us have as young people. And so the father, as they're waiting for the doctors, took a page out of the magazine that was there. It was a picture of the world, and he tore it up into pieces, and he mixed it up, and he told his little daughter to make a puzzle and to put the pieces of the world back together to form the world. And so he went back to reading his magazine, and the little girl, after just a matter of minutes, put together the picture of the world, and the father said, "Wow, how'd you do that? You don't know the picture of the world." And the little girl said, "Well, I noticed that on the other side there was a picture of man, so I just put the picture of the man together, and the world came together too." And you know, that's a good picture of our own lives. Sometimes the world seems fragmented, torn apart. Maybe our lives are fragmented and torn apart. But if we put together the picture of Christ, as Paul is doing this morning in the big picture here in Ephesians, then the rest of the problems of the world and the problems of our life will come together too. Today, whatever you're going through, God is bigger and greater. God has a plan and purpose. God has the power to see you through. Paul would whisper to us, the Holy Spirit would whisper to us to take a step back and to see the big picture and have full confidence that God is at work and God will see us through. Amen? Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for this word of Scripture for our hearts and lives this morning. Even as the church of Ephesus does, our own lives sometimes face challenge and adversity, and sometimes we're faced with our own anxieties. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to do exactly as the Apostle Paul is encouraging the people here in Ephesus in this, your book of Ephesians, to look at the big picture, to know that you have a plan, a purpose in our lives, and you have the power to see us through. And you are the creator of all the stars in the sky, and you will see us through your praise and glory. And all God's people said, amen.